tell you a story about a friend I've had. He's a mean motherfucker and he's super bad.
I love this movie.
I agree 100%.
We laughed so hard at the end of the last show when we let off.
Luckily, Bill was quick on the trigger with that one because
yeah.
I lost my ever-loving shit.
You lost it because I ended the last show with, I threw that shit before I came in the room!
It's still funny.
And it's still funny.
It's still funny.
We've been sitting here waiting to record this and... We've just been quoting this movie.
Literally, we've been sitting here for about an hour and change, hour and a half now.
Right.
Longer. I don't know what time. What time is it now? 7:14.
7:14.
Okay. So
hour and 45.
Hour 45. Yeah. Almost 2 hours. Just quoting this movie nonstop, and it hasn't gotten old.
It hasn't gotten old.
This is That Movie Show. Mike
hello.
Wendt, Liam Stryker.
Hello, hello.
Bill Neville behind hello. The machine, and we are covering Black Dynamite.
Yeah.
From 2009. Let me pull up the vitals on this one. Directed by Scott Sanders. Written by Michael Jai White, Scott Sanders, and Byron Menz. Stars, of course, Michael Jai White, along with a cast of hilarious characters.
Yes.
We will get into those characters shortly. It was released October 16th, 2009, and it had a budget of $2.9 million. And it is awesome.
Yeah. Yes. We were talking about this off the air, and this movie is so well executed and 100% hits the mark.
Absolutely.
Because the whole point of this movie, and you saw the trailer at the beginning of the show, that's a new thing we're going to start
doing.
We're
going to throw it in there. Because
we can. We're going to do that. If you're watching live on New Age Insider's Twitch,
you should be watching
you
live.
You should be watching live. Otherwise, you can be watching this on Periscope.
Oh, you could do that
if
too.
If you follow at New Age Insiders.
On the Twitter machine.
On the Twitter machines.
Okay.
So that's right there, and that's a ton of fun. So, but we were talking about this, how if when you look at the trailer, they nailed a 70s blaxploitation film.
Byron Menz, one of the writers, and he plays Bullhorn in the movie, has the greatest 70s blaxploitation voice.
Yeah.
He's so on point. It is like, it's like the best Rudy Ray Moore, who was Dolomite.
Yes.
The best impersonation of him. And it's just, it nails that essence of that time period.
Right. And the, you know, the fact that the movie isn't executed, like, you watch the movie and if you don't know what you're watching and you don't get it, it's because this movie hits you on multiple levels.
Well, even like Bill said when he was watching the show, he's like, when was this made?
Yeah.
I'm like, 2009.
What?
It looks like it was shot in the 70s.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And so then there are points in this movie where, like, a character will say something and the scene will end, but they didn't cut it. And
that's one of my favorite parts of this movie.
Right. Or someone will come in and they'll, like, redo it.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, a character...
He'll literally say the wrong line and just pick up his sentence again.
Right.
There's a lot of... And yeah, it's one of those things that on the surface can look like, oh, it's just a spoof of a blaxploitation film. And it is.
It is.
But they'd have so many subtle little nuances.
Yeah.
The more you watch it, the more shit you pick up on.
My favorite thing is that Michael Jai White isn't Michael Jai White playing Black Dynamite.
No, he's not.
Michael Jai White is playing a Baltimore Colts running back who's playing Black Dynamite.
He plays Fernette Jones, who was a Baltimore Colts running back who was injured. He had a broken neck, so he had to retire from the game.
Right.
And he became an actor, much like many of his time.
Yes.
The Jim Browns of the world. Jim Brown is a heavy influence on Michael Jai White's performance.
And not O.J. Simpson.
No, of course not. That afro was definitely not O.J.'s afro.
No, not at all.
And even stuff like that. Because now all of a sudden you put that in your head and you're like, oh my God, I'm watching a movie inside a movie.
Right.
You know, shit like the boom mic being in all the frames, you know, just kind of bumping his head.
That is funny.
And I'm like, it's so great. I saw an interview, it was with Tommy Davidson, who plays Cream Corn in this. And yeah, he does.
What a name.
And he was saying that Michael Jai White basically brought him over to his house. He cut together a bunch of movies. A lot of it was from the movie The Mac, which stars Max Julian, Richard Pryor, and Carol Speed. Great movie from, you know, classic 70s pimp movie.
Yeah.
And he was showing him that scene, and the boom mic was in the scene for a solid 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And Tommy Davidson was like, why are you showing me this? And he's like, I want to make this movie.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I'm in.
You know, and it's so funny because you look at it, and Michael Jai White is such a versatile actor. And you look at his IMDb, and you look at all of his credits, and you don't realize that he's in a ton of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he first started in movies as in the Toxic Avenger Part 2.
Yeah,
but
I mean his breakout
is Tyson.
I remember watching that on HBO back in the mid 90s, and I remember watching it being like, he is Mike Tyson.
Yeah, he crushed it.
Like the look, the voice. I rewatched it earlier in this week.
Yep.
Because it's available on Amazon Prime, and I watched it, and I'm like, man.
Yeah,
he is Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and
but more than just like. He looks like him. He can do the physical boxing stuff. He can do the voice. But just, you can tell his versatility. Even back in like really his debut role where he was handling those emotional scenes and really you were buying into it.
Right.
Like he's a hell of an actor.
Yeah, he is. And he's so multifaceted because then he goes and can play the lead in Spawn.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, for what it is, a 90s superhero movie.
They're redoing it shortly, aren't they?
I believe so. I believe they're going to give it another crack. Also, very underrated in Exit Wounds.
He was in Exit Wounds.
He was in Exit Wounds.
DMX.
He's also, yes, with DMX.
With DMX.
He's also in that deleted scene that everybody was looking forward to from Kill Bill Volume 2.
That's right.
So when the guys fight Master Pei, I think is the guy's name, he's the guy that fights them.
Yep.
And so he's a very, very accomplished martial artist.
He's like a dozen black belts.
Right. And so he's very good.
I mean, when you look like actors that are actually legit badasses,
right.
He's up there.
And then he then does a Tyler Perry movie of Why Did I Get Married?
Sure.
And, you know, for what that movie is, it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's...
Again, showing versatility.
Showing versatility that he can be in a romantic comedy Tyler Perry movie. You know, and then being in The Dark Knight and having the
like Gamble.
Yeah, playing Gamble, the gangster that ends up getting killed on his own pool table.
I mean, you say it, nothing else about it. He got to share time with Heath Ledger as the Joker.
In one of the scenes that really kind of gives him that Emmy, that Academy Award nomination.
Absolutely.
You know, he came up when we were talking about it, when we were talking about The Dark Knight, when we did that a few episodes ago. He was also, and this is probably one of my favorite things, and people don't talk about it all that much or even know about it.
Okay.
Did you see the Mortal Kombat Rebirth?
No.
So Mortal Kombat Rebirth was a fan-made trailer or like a short film. Mm-hmm. And so it's obviously about Mortal Kombat.
Sure.
But it tried to reboot like a movie franchise to like set it in like a real world. And he plays Jax.
Okay.
And it's so good. And then they ended up picking up the like a web series. I think Machinima did it.
Because he has a few Mortal Kombats in his credit here.
Yeah. So then he did the... he played Jax in the actual Machinima.
It's like a TV
web
series.
It says.
Yeah, web series, Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Yeah, that's it. So they did Rebirth, and Rebirth was a short film, and then they did Legacy, where each one of the episodes was focused on a different character, and he reprised his role as Jax.
Very cool.
In that, and so he was great. He was great. He was also Blood and Bone. Blood and Bone was really good. That was the movie he did after this, which was like a serious martial arts film.
Yep.
And he's just very versatile and very good. He's very good at what he does. And even looking at Black Dynamite, he wrote this movie. So he's not just one thing, and it's really kind of sad that he doesn't get a little bit more of the recognition that he probably deserves.
Sure. But I mean, yeah, what thinking about that, and again, Black Dynamite, even though he wrote it himself, you know, the whole deal, it again shows that other side of versatility where it's funny.
Oh, it's so
and
funny.
And it's like, we talked a little bit about it. The best part of how funny it is they're playing it straight.
Right.
Because
yep,
this is a send-up, a satire, if you will, on those 70s blaxploitation movies. And while we now, 30, 40 years later, can look back at the blaxploitation movies and laugh and, oh, they're so funny, look at the bad acting, look at the boom mic and all that stuff, they thought in the time that they were making important films.
Right. And so let's just take a second, because we've said blaxploitation several times.
Yes.
Let's just talk about a little bit about what that is, okay, for those people that might not be cinephiles,
sure,
might just enjoy us, and, you know, and are like,
what are they talking about?
What are
about?
You talking about? What is a blaxploitation film? That sounds so racist.
Right. It's absolutely not.
But
it's actually a genre of film.
It is a genre of film. Shaft is probably one of the more famous ones. Shaft,
yeah,
and as well as Superfly.
Superfly.
And
one.
So
yep,
it's a 70s film that was shot on a low budget that kind of exploits the African-American community.
Well, and it's one of those things, back in that time. Basically, Shaft is the movie that's credited for saving MGM Studios.
Correct.
The studio system was going under. People weren't going to movies. They figured out a way to make movies for cheap money that,
right,
people would go see. And they basically went after the black community.
Yes.
Made a movie like Shaft. All of a sudden, now they have a hero. And
right,
they went out in droves to those movies. And yeah, Shaft is one. As you mentioned, Superfly was another. Pam Grier is like the queen of blaxploitation,
yes,
movies. Coffee, Foxy Brown,
yeah,
Black Mama, White Mama.
Also Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown. Again, we might have, I don't remember when we talked about this, but I know I've told you about on the Jackie Brown supplemental material on the DVD or the Blu-ray, there is like 30 Pam Grier trailers from
fun.
All those movies she made.
That's really, really funny.
Yeah, I mean, Black Mama, White Mama, Big Birdcage, Big Dollhouse. Again, what happened was they started out, and they, like I said, there was a lot of like good, not a lot, but there was quite a few good movies that came out, Shaft being probably the most
right,
prominent one.
Yeah.
But then you start scratching away at the surface.
Right.
And you start seeing more of them being filmed in the Philippines and places like
right,
that.
Right. Because that's the thing, is they're trying to make these movies for cheap so that the box office return.
Very cheap.
So that the box office return is
mm-hmm,
very high, to the point where sets were built and the same sets are used in multiple movies.
The same sets, the same footage at times was used.
Yes, correct. They would film like a fight sequence or something.
Yep.
And the fight sequence would be used in multiple films.
And again, Black Dynamite sends those movies up perfectly.
Right.
Not in, and not just like, oh, we used the same car crash in 2 points in the movie.
Right.
But there's, if you look closely, Black Dynamite kills the same guy like 8 times in the movie,
yes,
because they were on a budget, so they would use the same actors. Oh, put a mustache on them and send
right,
them back out. Like, some guys would get killed twice in one fight.
Right.
It's like you get killed, knocked through a window, all of a sudden you come running back in with a new hat.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, let's do it again.
Right, because you only had 3 people for
exactly,
this 8-person fight sequence.
Especially in fight scenes, because stuntmen were, you know,
right,
in demand.
Especially when you didn't have a big budget to pay a lot of stunt people.
Absolutely not. It's usually your buddy. Hey, man, you want to come do a movie? Cool. Throw,
yeah,
throw yourself through that window.
Yeah, right. That was a kid I knew.
Was it really? Is that
yeah, in film school. In film school, his name is Stuntman Sully.
Stuntman. Wow, very good.
That's what he called himself. And so he used to, he would be like, hey, I'll do stunts in your movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's like Kurt Russell's thing in Grindhouse. Where
Stuntman Mike.
He's like, yeah, if you're dumb enough to throw yourself down a flight of stairs, there's probably somebody that's going to pay you for it.
Right.
And it's good that we brought that up, because this, of course, came out in 2009.
Yeah.
Grindhouse came out in 2007, and I feel while box office wise Grindhouse was quote unquote a disappointment,
right,
I feel there's a little bit of skewing involved in that, because first of all, right off the bat with Grindhouse, it didn't do as well in the box office as they probably projected, but they were also showing 2 feature-length movies
right,
for the price of one, so you've now cut your amount of ticket sales in half.
Right. The other thing too is that you look at that, and in a film landscape where movies are not that length and double features aren't a thing,
you're looking at almost 5 hours
right,
in a movie theater. Now, I loved it.
Right. I loved it as well, because I loved the intermission.
I was there week one.
Right. I was there day one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But that can scare people off too.
Absolutely.
Oh, how long is this? I thought this was going to be a 2-hour experience, yeah, and each one was going to be an hour,
right?
Not each one 2 hours.
No, they're both full-length movies.
With a 15-minute intermission,
yep,
with about 8 to 10 minutes of fake trailers.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, wow, this is a 5-hour experience? Yeah, I'm not going to go see that.
It's a commitment.
It is. It's a commitment, and I don't think...
General audiences
were on board. Now, that being said...
It was the whole reason Kill Bill was split.
Right.
Because that was originally one movie.
Right. Same deal, where that was supposed to be one movie with an intermission,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't do it. Now, that being said, I think that the Grindhouse is very important to the success of this film, because while a lot of people didn't see Black Dynamite, the people that did see it and saw the trailer at least understood what they were looking at.
Well, what Grindhouse really did was it popularized that style of throwback filmmaking, and you saw a lot of fan Grindhouse trailers being made.
Right.
And it was just, you know, Michael Jai White, being who he is, was able, right, to get this movie made. Probably, I mean, I don't know exactly, but probably a little easier because Grindhouse was made.
Probably.
And because, you know, it was like the pretty girl at the dance.
Yeah, the budget for this movie was $2.9 million.
Yeah. Still, not a huge budget in the grand
box
scheme.
Office, the box office return was $296,000.
I'm curious on how that's going to play out with home video, because I think it's probably done a lot better.
Well, that's
because it's a cult movie.
It's a cult movie, so.
Because I didn't see it in theater, and to be honest, when you look at that, it was only actually...
In theaters for like a couple weeks.
2 or 3 weeks before, I believe, the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah.
So if it made 200 grand in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, the big telling point is that the DVD sales and the internet viewing had to have been high, because Adult Swim, years later,
did a whole cartoon series.
Yeah.
Which was wonderful, by the way.
I never actually watched it.
No, I want to say it's available on demand places, or you can
probably
find it in YouTube and stuff.
I would imagine you could find it on YouTube.
But yeah, it was shot in 20 days.
Yeah, okay.
On Super 16 millimeter.
Yeah.
And it was released on October 16th, as I mentioned, on 2009, only for 2 weeks, with the official premiere being Toronto After Dark Film Festival. And then it was released on home video in February.
Okay.
After that. So, I mean, it was, like I said, yeah, almost 300 grand in 2 weeks, I don't think is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, especially for a movie that has a very specific audience.
Right.
You know, but what happens with movies like this is it's open limitedly, you know, it's open like for one night. It's almost like what I talk about now with the Fathom Events things. It's almost along that lines, but before, yeah, Fathom Events existed. Because,
right,
I remember a buddy of mine that worked at the radio station, he said, because he knew I was into these types of movies, he's like, you got to see Black Dynamite. I'm like,
right,
well, okay, where can I see it? Because he showed me the trailer. I'm like, love it. Definitely. Where? When?
Right.
And he's like, oh, well, it's like tomorrow night at the Coolidge Theater at like midnight. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, but then it came out and I was like, day one, pick up the Blu-ray.
Right.
Absolutely. And I absolutely love it. It's still to this day. Like, I watched it right before I came over here.
Yeah.
Yes. It still makes me belly laugh.
Oh, it's so funny, because it's just the way... the inflection of the words, it's so well done.
It feels like they're the definition of they nailed it.
Right. You know, because I go back to the type of person that's going to love this,
mm-hmm,
is a person who loves movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I watched this for the first time in college,
yep,
with a bunch of my college friends,
mm-hmm,
and we all loved it because of the reasons that we talked about, where it's like, I'm a geek for that stupid stuff, where,
exactly,
it's like, Michael Jai White isn't playing Black Dynamite, he's playing somebody playing...
He's playing Fernette Jones playing Black Dynamite.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's so funny. And when you look at it through that lens...
Yep.
And it's just like, that's hilarious. The lines are so perfect, and
the
delivery...
The lines are fantastic.
You know...
Are you
the type of guy who gets women but with a wink and a smile? Ding! What about the smile? I am smiling.
There was a character in it, and this one I'm sure I picked up on it before, but I really focused on him this time around. He's a character who didn't learn his dialogue.
Yes.
He learned every word on the page, so the character is reciting screen action. So Black Dynamite comes through the room,
yeah,
and he stands up and goes, the militant turns around surprised, looks over at him, and you can see Michael Jai White, who is now playing the actor playing Black Dynamite, and he starts looking off camera, And the guy goes, "Where did you come from?" And he's still kind of like looking around.
Yeah.
I walked in. And what he's doing is the actor Fernette Jones that Michael Jai White is playing is looking for the director of the Black Dynamite movie to call cut because this guy just read screen action.
Right.
You're not supposed to say he turns around surprised, but he does it. And it's one, I think I might have picked that one up because it was so glaring.
Right.
But he does it throughout the movie. Like there's a little part where where he's the one that actually gets killed with the spear. He gets a spear through him.
Yes.
And he's set, all of a sudden he goes, he's telling all this exposition about himself. You know, he's got this family and he wants to get back to his little girl and all this stuff.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
But during that, he goes and he shows Black Dynamite the picture and holds up a picture. And then takes it back down and keeps talking. And it's like, fuck, man, he's doing this the whole time?
The whole time. It's so great because that's a perfect... It's just, it's those little nuances. And that's the best part about a movie like this where you can watch it several times.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like Mel Brooks.
Sure.
In that sense where it's like, Mel Brooks movies... You have to watch at least three times because it's jokes on bits on jokes on bits.
Well, first of all, you'll miss half the shit because you're laughing so hard at the last joke.
Right.
You know, that's a huge problem.
Right.
That's the struggle, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I got to watch it again and catch the next joke. But, yeah, and I love the fact because they were sending up these movies from the 70s.
Right.
And... it would have been very easy for a modern day movie with a budget of almost $3 million to do a second take and do close ups and coverage and stuff. But the movies they were doing a satire on didn't have the time or money to do that.
Right.
They only had one master shot.
Right.
So they had to recreate stuff like that.
Right.
And in that, I feel is really where they excelled in the accuracy of this.
Right. Well, and it's also, you look at it, like a line gets flubbed, but they keep going. And it's because, we don't have the money because they're shooting on film.
Yep.
And it's very expensive.
Yep.
So it's not like you can do nowadays where it's like you delete the clip and you just do it again.
Keep going. It's just media.
Yeah. It's just ethereal digital content. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you gotta just do it.
Yep.
You gotta just go with what you got.
It was actually right after that character when he got the spear through his chest. And Michael Jai White looks to the rest of his crew and is like, I want to say he's like, did you all see that happen? Did you all see where that came from? And it's like he obviously fucked up a line, but just barrel through. And part of it is saying, well, we don't have enough time to cut and redo. And also it's saying the editors weren't that great.
No.
They just leave shit in. The floating boom mic through so many shots is like, you know, it's like a rubber chicken in the room.
Yeah.
And there's one scene where it's bopping him on the afro.
Yeah.
And he's trying to work through his dialogue. He's just trying to get it all out. And he keeps just looking up at it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to signal with his eyeballs because they can't cut. They can't do. They don't have enough money or film to do a second take. So it's like, hey, you want to just raise that the fuck up?
Yeah,
you know?
Right. And then, so now there's all those little things. And then the plot of this movie is so bonkers and so funny.
But again, it's
really indicative of the time.
Very. There were these types of conspiracy plots in a lot of these.
This was also made famous. It's very similar to that movie with the gentleman from SNL who was, it was not Pootie Tang, but it was...
The Ladies Man?
Not The Ladies Man, but it was one of those type of movies. Undercover Brother.
He was in SNL. Eddie Griffin.
Yeah. Yes.
Eddie that was
Griffin.
A great movie.
And
Undercover
so,
Brother.
So it's basically, it's a very, very similar plot structure to that
And I'm
film.
Sure Eddie Griffin got it from the same place. Which was a 1974 movie called Three the Hard Way. It was a blaxploitation film which used a similar conspiracy plot, which they were poisoning the water supply of L.A., New York, and Chicago that would only kill the black people.
Right.
And there was a lot of that type of stuff in those movies where it was the man.
Right, the man.
It was everyone was fighting the man, and the man was always trying to do something.
Yeah,
something
dastardly.
So overblown conspiracy-wise to kill the black man, And it was just that. It's like, oh, we're going to poison the water supply. Only the black guys are going to die.
Yeah, right.
You know, of course, in this one.
Yeah, it's going to.
In Black Dynamite.
It's going to give you a little dick.
They're poisoning the malt liquor.
Yeah, that's right.
So that the malt
Anaconda
liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor.
Anaconda malt liquor. And when you drink it, it gives you a small dick. And the way they figure that out, wow, what hilarious. The entire scene of them working out in the diner,
yeah,
where, of course, where they figure out Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle was born.
Right.
Because if you notice, in the there's a scene earlier where they go to Roscoe's Chili and Donuts.
Yeah.
Just wasn't working.
Just wasn't working.
And now they're sitting in a diner, and all that's left is last night's fried chicken, but we got some good-ass waffles. And you see the guy, Roscoe, with his apron still goes, I got it!
Yeah,
and runs
right.
out.
Have you ever been to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles?
Never.
I've been to
Bucket
Roscoe's.
Bucket list. Bucket list it.
I've gone to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in L.A. Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
It's so good.
I can only imagine it is.
I brought a vegetarian friend, and she had the chicken and waffles, and she was like, it's amazing. That's how good it is.
It's amazing.
That's how good it is.
So they're breaking down, going through how to figure out in I mean, it wasn't Roscoe's, but they're having their chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out what this, was it Code Kansas?
Code Kansas.
Code
Correct.
Kansas.
Correct.
And just going through all these other steps, you know, what melts in your mouth? M&M's. And then they start getting from M&M. Who makes M&M's? Mars. How do you spell Mars backwards and drop the S? Ram. And Ram is Aries and Aries and Athena. And yeah. And they just keep going and going and going. And then finally they get down to, somehow they fucking get down to.
Anaconda.
Anaconda. Anaconda malt liquor. And what's it do? Gives you,
yeah.
Once again, whoo. Yeah. Gives you, whoo. And who else is known for saying, whoo? Little Richard. Anaconda malt liquor gives you Little Richard. What's another word for Richard?
Dick.
Anaconda. Oh, shit.
It's so
and of course,
funny.
One of their buddies in a previous scene had probably the biggest guy on their crew.
Right.
Had just drinking a shitload of the malt liquor because they thought they were going to the warehouse for drugs.
Right.
And all they found were cases and cases of Anaconda malt liquor.
Right.
And I mean, beat after beat, I could almost go every scene and be like, this was the funniest thing. This was the funniest
right,
thing.
Right, but it just keeps going and going and going.
So they go to his house. And I know we're going to skip all over the place on this one because this is almost the end of the movie.
This is almost the end of the movie. We almost got to Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Exactly. We're going to get to. So they go to Gunsmoke's house.
Yeah.
Gunsmoke is the big guy who drank all the malt liquor.
Right.
And he's sitting on the couch and. I don't know how to. It's the smallest little baby dick you've ever seen.
Right.
It was actually they basically doctored up a pacifier.
Oh, really?
And that's how they made it. All right. And the crew busts in. They see that he's sitting there in a sea of Anaconda malt liquor with his little baby dick hanging out.
Right.
And he's just sitting there looking all fucked up. And who was the God? It was the guy I was just talking about earlier.
Cream corn?
No. Hang on 2 seconds here. I hate when I lose my Bullhorn. Byron Mins, one of the writers also, who does the great Rudy Ray Moore. And Bullhorn's sitting there with a gun, just screaming at him, do you want to live?
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, he's just kind of small. No, do you want to live? Do you want to go on? And somebody back, oh, just shoot him. You just fucking just kill him.
Yeah, right. It's not worth it, man.
It's not worth it to live anymore. I mean, just shit like that is so fantastic. As I mentioned before, Jim Brown was obviously a giant influence
right.
on the character. And it was, I think, one of the, again, subtle funny.
Right.
Is when Black Dynamite and Gloria are kind of frolicking
yep.
about.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, like, if you, there was always. In all of these movies, whether it was, you know, whether it was Jim Brown, whether it was Fred Williamson, whether it was Richard Roundtree, Rudy, they all had the hot chick.
Yeah,
there
right.
was always a lot of sex in these
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, it's almost like a James Bond type of situation.
That's probably where they got it,
you know?
Basically the black James Bond. I mean, I'm guessing that's what Shaft was supposed to be.
Well, because I do. I feel like that's what they were trying to recreate is just...
It was in the fucking theme song.
Right.
Who's the private dick with all the chicks?
Yeah.
Shaft. So, but there was always those scenes where this unbelievable badass who you see crashing through windows, doing kung fu poorly, shooting everybody in sight, now has to come down and get romantic in a field of grass with his lady.
It's out of place.
And wow, watching Michael Jai White portray that.
Yeah.
Where the, you know, the woman playing Gloria, she's having fun, she's frolicking, and then they cut to the reverse shot of Michael Jai White just being like,
I don't know what to do.
What are you doing? What are you doing? And then the hug on the bridge is one of the most awkward.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know how to describe it other than like hugging your ex at a funeral. It's the most awkward, I don't want to be here right now, but it's the right thing to do. Like, right. He's being the strong man. He just kind of grabs her like this.
Yeah, he just grabs her and pulls her close to him.
Yeah. But of course, that leads to the Black Dynamite Gloria sex scene, which, beautifully animated.
Yeah, right.
Which goes into the, it was like a Zodiac thing, but it was all like, it was an afroed out couple just animated banging in all these different positions.
Yeah, right.
You know, mixed with, you know Pisces and Aries. And
yeah,
all
and so
stuff.
It just moves from Zodiac to Zodiac.
Again, though, extremely 70s.
Oh, yeah. And because I don't think anybody cares about horoscopes anymore.
No, not at all. But because, you know, this is a send-up of blaxploitation, that wasn't the only sex scene in the movie.
No.
They actually used a number of porn actresses for the sex scenes.
Oh, very fun.
That was, I mean, again, you don't got a budget for, you know, expensive actresses.
Yeah, you get a bunch of porn actresses.
Go with the girls and know what they're doing.
Yeah, right. Right. And so, that's closer to the Fiendish Dr. Wu.
We're around there. We can jump in on Fiendish Dr. I mean, we've been talking about it probably for weeks now.
Yeah, so Fiendish Dr. So, they find out that Anaconda Malt Liquor is the CIA's plan to give black men small dicks.
Bingo.
So Black Dynamite
makes complete sense so far.
Yeah. So Black Dynamite has to go to Kung Fu Island.
Him and his crew gotta go to Kung Fu
Island. They gotta go to Kung Fu Island in order to find his old nemesis, Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Who's a scientist evil Asian man.
Oh my god, it's so good.
And he's the most stereotypical Asian man. He's got the Fu Manchu mustache, like the white hair, and he just basically, without having to like completely do it, they basically do a Game of Death where he just has to fight up a tower to get to Fiendish Dr. Wu. But then it leads to, I can't even say the best line in the movie.
There's so, and this scene has so many of the best lines. I mean, from your knowledge of scientific biological transmorphification is only outmatched for your zest for kung fu treachery. I mean, fuck me, that's a great line.
It's so great.
It's kind of like the whole scene. I mean, it's obviously very much Enter the Dragon.
Yes.
Also very much Big Trouble Little China.
Yep.
Jim Kelly was obviously a huge influence on all this shit, all the kung fu stuff, because he was the blaxploitation kung fu guy. He was Black Belt Jones. He was in Enter the Dragon.
Yes.
But again, he was one of the...
Was he in Enter the Dragon?
Yes.
Was he dead before he goes into that liquid?
That's a great question.
Because I don't know if he's dead before that happens.
Can't honestly answer that
also,
one.
Also, spoiler for Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, right.
But... My favorite sequence is he's about to go into a room where he knows he's going to get ambushed.
Yep.
And Fiendish Dr. Wu tries to escape, and out of nowhere,
through
a window, a boomerang comes and just chops off his hand. Then he runs over, grabs him, and just goes, "I threw that shit before I came in the room."
It was hilarious how he literally just leaped up on top of him and just yells in his face, because the whole time Fiendish Dr. Wu, which by the way, you can't just say Dr. Wu, it's Fiendish Dr. Wu, had been throwing ninja stars. He was throwing these knives attached to cables that were pulling guns away. He was throwing all kinds of shit around,
right?
And all of a sudden, the fucking boomerang crashes through.
Yeah.
Ha ha! I threw that shit before I came in the room!
But it's so funny because at no point is that boomerang ever brought up.
Nope.
It just comes in that moment.
He never had it in another scene.
He never had it in another scene. Nobody ever handed him a boomerang and goes, "This might come in handy."
I mean, there's a lot of times I'm questioning where the hell the nunchucks came from, but at least he has them throughout the movie.
Right. He has nunchucks throughout the entire thing.
He never had a fucking boomerang.
He never had a boomerang. It just comes out of nowhere. So he finally bests Fiendish Dr. Wu.
Yes, he does.
And then we find the true villain to the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it couldn't have gotten even more absurd, we find out that the real mastermind behind everything mm-hmm. is the White House.
Of course it is.
And because of when this is set, mm-hmm. it is the President of the United States.
Of course it is.
Richard Nixon.
Tricky Dick.
Tricky Dick.
You diabolical dick shrinking motherfuckers.
And they dive out of an airplane. Thing like skydive.
So that it's a helicopter.
Oh, that's right. That's it.
Because him and Creamcorn, who's played by Tommy Davidson,
yes.
Tommy Davidson finds a helicopter. Of course, Black Dynamite, the Black MacGyver, can hotwire that with a hairpin.
Yeah, of course.
And they're flying the helicopter over the White House, and Black Dynamite's like, I'm going to get this. No big deal. Puts on his parachute and tells Creamcorn to take the controls. And as he dives out,
Creamcorn.
The Secret Service
right.
has bazookas.
Yeah, and they just shoot down the helicopter.
Firing up as he's... And it's just... Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
Cream Corn blows up, and he's just like, no!
Yeah. Right.
You know, in Revenge of the Sith, when Vader went no and everybody kind of cringed, this is the opposite.
This is where it's supposed
to be put.
Right. That's where it was supposed to be put. So then he fights Nixon, who of course knows Kung Fu.
Of course he does.
And then finally, Nixon gets the upper hand by pulling a gun on Black Dynamite. Yep. And you're like, oh no, this is it for our hero. And then, of course, the ghost of Abraham Lincoln
yep.
saves Black Dynamite.
And by the way, the gun was the gun that shot Lincoln.
That's right. The funniest part about that entire sequence with Nixon and the president is that you're watching this movie and it goes to crazy town.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So like it starts out where he's like, oh, there's orphans and there's heroin in the orphanages and I'm gonna
smack addict orphans.
Yeah.
I forgot about that scene.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that brings up another point. All the signs, they never have names. It's just orphanage.
Yeah, right.
Hospital.
Yeah, right. There's no names for any of it.
Office.
But yeah.
when the kid thinks he's a drug dealer and he goes up to him, he's like, man, I need my fix. You put me on the street. He's like, you gotta get off the shit, motherfucker.
Yeah, right. Right. In a funny moment where it's like, it's as if he's not acting. He's like telling this kid.
It was as if Fernette Jones,
right,
thought this kid was on drugs.
Real. Yeah. But it starts out like he's going to clean up the streets and
yep.
and get the drug dealers.
Oh, there's the cleaning up the streets montage.
Right, and he does, and it happens, and you're like, oh, so that's the end of the movie? And then it's like, no, there's actually the man with Anaconda
malt liquor.
And then it's just like, and that's by fiendish Dr. Wu. And you're like, that's got to be the end of this movie.
Nope.
And then no, it's actually Nixon in the White House and
yep.
they're fighting.
Yep.
And so it's just like this movie goes from crazy town to crazy town.
And I love because one of the mans played by Mike Starr, who probably the most famous you could find him in, was he's the guy that is in Dumb and Dumber.
Okay.
In the scene with the most annoying noise ever, and then he's also the one that eats the hot chilies and dies.
Yes.
That's Mike Starr. So he's playing one of the mans in this.
Yeah, okay.
And as every blaxploitation movie would tell you, if you're a white guy in one of these movies, you got to be sitting by your pool with your bitches plotting your dastardly plan.
Right.
That's just what we all have pools.
Yeah, we all do.
And we sit on our cell phones that are about the size of a brick.
Yeah, right.
And we
right.
sit with all of our bikini clad bitches.
Yeah.
And we plan our dastardly deeds.
Correct.
That's okay. Moving on.
Yeah. The funniest thing is how Black Dynamite gets Lincoln to stop. I mean, not Lincoln, to get Nixon to stop,
mm-hmm.
is that he apparently just has a bunch of, weird pictures of him, in compromising positions.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of sex pictures. Like,
yeah.
He's got, a dog collar and a leash around his ass or something like that.
Yeah.
But even Nicole Sullivan playing Patricia Nixon.
Yes.
Nicole Sullivan from Mad TV shows up as Pat Nixon and gets, as he says in the movie, pimp slapped into that glass counter.
Yeah, right.
He wrecked her.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But it's just, it's so funny because that's basically now he's just blackmailing Nixon.
Yeah, basically.
And that's how they get Anaconda malt liquor to not give black guys small dicks anymore.
I mean, again, another way they are doing a very accurate job of sending up the 70s blaxploitation.
Yeah.
The ending isn't always great.
No.
It doesn't really make a hell of a lot of sense. Sometimes you just like, we got to shoot tomorrow. I haven't written the ending yet. Fuck it.
Yeah, right. Right. Because isn't it just Pat Nixon just like looking through the window maniacally or something?
No. What happens at the end, so he knocks Pat Nixon through the glass with all the shit. And after the fight, he comes back in. She's unconscious on the ground.
Right.
And in the again, subtleties. She doesn't come to. He just walks over, taps her on the head once, and she's immediately back up and looking straight at him, lucid as all.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's like, oh my God.
Right.
There was not even a little bit of effort of acting on that one, which, representing the times. And then they go back and forth a little bit with, on another time, I wouldn't have had the pimp slap you through that glass over there.
Right.
All this
right.
other stuff. And as he stands up, and this is where you get the famous, poster picture of him holding the gun and the nunchucks and the two women, one of them being Nicole Sullivan playing Pat Nixon.
Yes, all around.
And
his
then
leg.
Gloria shows up out of nowhere just to crawl on the ground and lay by his leg.
Right.
And he's doing this monologue about Black Dynamite saving the community. And he's doing the whole thing while posing his ass off.
That's right.
It makes no fucking sense.
No.
It's just, I got a monologue to say, and it's going to be deep.
It's going
to
be deep.
And I'm standing here with a big fucking gun and nunchucks and two women by my legs.
Right.
Fun fact, that suit that he's wearing in the end of the movie, so when Michael Jai White got the idea for this, he did his own photo shoot. So he rented a bunch of costumes, and he did a photo shoot in the Black Dynamite costumes. That suit was the one that basically convinced everybody to do it. He rented that suit, took a bunch of pictures, went to the director, and was showing them the picture, like, this is what I want to do. And they're like, yes, and keep the suit.
Yes, and keep the suit. We bought the
suit. Keep the fucking suit.
So now, that's basically, without just going scene by scene, which we couldn't, we highly recommend that you watch this movie.
This is an easy buy, in my opinion.
So, yeah.
If I'm recommending, I say go out and buy it. You can probably find it for anywhere from $6. Anywhere from $6 to $10 on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It's on DVD, Blu-ray. I'm not sure if or where it's streaming because I own it.
Yeah. But I own it as well, so I didn't even look it.
But go buy it.
You should be able to. You can rent it on YouTube because when I was just looking up the trailer and stuff, you can rent it for $3.
There you go.
It's so worth it.
I mean, $3 is an easy rent.
Right. It's got to be streaming somewhere. So it's on Stars.
Okay.
So if you have Stars, you can watch it for free.
I just recently cut cable, but up until this week, it's been playing like every week. It was almost like when we did Get Out, and HBO was playing Get Out like every week. That Black Dynamite's been on a few times.
It's on Amazon Prime.
There you go.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Perfect.
So you can just buy it for $0
and watch it.
And watch it. Oh no, never mind. That's the behind the scenes. That's why that's $0.
Either way, it's an absolute buy. You're gonna once you watch it, you're gonna be like, I want to own this because I'm gonna want to watch this quite a few times.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. So he has a new movie coming out.
Michael Jai White. Right. Yes. So Michael Jai White, last week, was it?
Yes.
Last week, the week before, released the first teaser trailer.
Right.
To go along with the crowdfunding campaign.
The Indiegogo campaign. I'm going to tweet it out right now.
The website is outlawjohnnyblackmovie.com. And basically, what it looks like, because there's a lot of the same actors, and he looks like he's playing the same character. This looks like the second movie in the Fernette Jones story.
Right.
So I don't know if he's... I don't believe he's going to be playing Black Dynamite, because it's a spaghetti western, basically.
Right. It's a spaghetti western.
It's a 70s blaxploitation spaghetti western, but it looks like he's playing, as we talked about, it was Michael Jai White playing Fernette Jones, who played Black Dynamite.
Right.
I feel that he's doing another story in this actor's life, because I keep forgetting his name. Let me scroll over. Because like I said, the actors from Black Dynamite are in this. Even Byron Mins, who was his co-writer on it, is not only in this, and of course it's him, so it looks like the same guy, but he's doing the same Rudy Ray Moore voice that he did as Bullhorn in that, and he's doing the whole trailer. It looks as, I mean, the trailer is like, I watched it, I'm like, okay, take my money.
Yeah.
I'm in right now. How soon can we get this movie made? But I guess that's a matter of how much you want to pledge. Because like I said, he's doing an Indiegogo crowdfunding to get the budget for this movie.
Right.
OutlawJohnnyBlackMovie.com is the website. Liam is tweeting that out as we speak. There we go. And yeah, this is definitely a movie you got to get behind. And I mean, do we tell him?
I think we should.
We should?
So I think we should preface it by saying we were supposed to have a special guest tonight.
We were. We kind of hinted, but I've always been a little weary about pre-promoting without actually getting anything.
Because you got burned by Machete.
Yeah. Danny Trejo and his intern burned me once when Machete 2 was coming out. But we were supposed to have Black Dynamite himself, Michael Jai White, on with us today.
Right.
However, he's filming a movie in Romania.
Correct, which is
so
the middle of nowhere?
Apparently, it's like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning there right now. It's about 8 p.m. our time.
Right.
And we were supposed to have him on a couple hours ago, which is why we mentioned at the top that we've been sitting around talking for 2 hours without actually doing a show. So got in touch with his people. They got in touch with him. It was a connection issue with the phones and the service out in Romania and all that stuff. So we will have him. We rescheduled for Friday evening.
Correct.
So it's going to be a very special, that movie show.
Yeah.
As we sit down and go even deeper into Black Dynamite.
Right.
We talk Outlaw Johnny Black.
Yep.
We talk what it's like to share the screen time with Heath Ledger in the Batman movie, Dark Knight. Right. Spawn. You brought up Spawn. We'll talk about Spawn. And
the Mortal Kombat stuff, because I want to know about that.
Mortal Kombat stuff, the Tyson movie that that basically launched his career. We're going to get into all of it as much as we can with Michael Jai White this coming Friday.
And if not, I'll pretend to be Michael Jai White.
There you go. We'll just do Black Dynamite quotes for that whole show.
Yeah, that'll be
because we'll be here anyway.
Right.
Cool. That is Black Dynamite. That is that movie show. I am Mike Wendt, Liam Stryker, Bill Neville. Thank you for producing, sir.
You got it, guys.
You can follow us all on Twitter. Mike Wendt, Liam NAI, Bill Neville NAI. Of course, follow the Twitch. It is twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersPop, where we go live every time we do this show. And of course, update your podcast app so you can get New Age Pop on there. This drops on Mondays, Bill?
Yeah.
Monday.
Right. And if you're following along, just follow at New Age Insiders because we've streamed this show live on Periscope, so you'll get an alert.
There you
go. And it'll just immediately go to your phone. You can check that out.
See it right on the Twitter machine.
You can go over to the brand new NewAgeInsiders.com, relaunched last
week. Website launched.
Where we're going to have articles.
Cool.
We're going to have to figure out if we're going to start posting movie reviews there for newer movies. You know, companion pieces for that movie
show. We're
going
to make you do some reading.
We're going to do some reading, guys. as well as articles for all of the shows that exist there.
Sure.
DDT Wrestling, For the Pops, Late Night Liam, New Age Insiders Wrestling, B Nerd, Rant with Ant, all of them. So they're all going to be there. So check it out. Check out the new redesigned.
It looks very slick.
Yeah, you can even watch the Twitch stream live from the website, so you don't even need to go to Twitch.
Look at that.
You just go to NewAgeInsiders.com. It's all there.
Simple.
It's all there, everybody.
Simple. He set that up before he came in the room.
I set that up before I came in the room. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.